can be seated, and please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 10:2. Last week was Resurrection Sunday 2022, 2 weeks ago. We're still in the dialogue of Moses just begging the people before the Jews on the east side of the Jordan River, getting ready to go into the Promised Land. He's just begging them chapter after chapter, worship God, love God, do what he says. This is what the Lord requires of you. Because he knows he's not going to be able to go with them, and he's just realizing and emphasizing, if we don't keep our heads into Jesus, into his word, into his ways in this fallen, corrupt world, we're going to mess up our walk. Even as Christians, if we don't fellowship, if we don't read our Bibles, if we get into the world, then we'll just be led astray. Is that a testimony in the lack of the power of God and salvation in our life? No, it's the strength of our flesh that still is rebellious. God gives us a new heart, but he doesn't make us serve him, walk with him, obey him. We can do what we want. And what God does is he goes, yeah, you can serve the devil, you can serve the world, you can serve corruption, or you can serve Jesus, you know. And even as Christians, you know, we can be saved, but I've seen a lot of Christians that flame out and go into years of ruining their lives. And God would say, don't do it. And Moses is telling the Jews, don't do it, by the things that we're still studying today. Next week we'll get into the actual laws. Then he's begging you, you gotta listen, you gotta do the laws of God. Now here they are. And he's begging them first, and then he's sharing with them the laws that they should observe. So, on Deuteronomy 10:12, we covered these 12 through 14 last week is what we ended with, 2 weeks ago I should say. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, number one, to walk in all his ways, number two, to love him, number three, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, four, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good. You know, this is what the Lord requires of you. If you do these things, it'll be for your good, and it will. It'll spare you. If we completely obeyed those five things, we would not stumble in our walk with God. We'd have a fruitful, joyful relationship with God and be used of him. And then here's the reason why he gives in verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heaven belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. Who created everything? Who created the heavens and the earth? God. Who created you? God. And so that's the reason why. I think there's a lack of emphasis in the Christian church, and even my life, I'm emphasizing this more often. Instead, you should obey God. Is to say, you should obey your Creator. You know, so let's just kind of ramp that up, because that's what God does. In fact, let's turn to Revelation chapter 14:6, because Moses is emphasizing that, and God emphasizes it. He's like, for instance, you know, when children rebel against their parents, why should I listen to you? One of the things that we say is, well, because I'm your parent. In other words, I'm the one that brought you into the world. I'm the one that changed your diapers. I'm the one that fed you. I'm the one that's giving you a roof over your head. You know, that's why. And God does the same thing. He goes, hey, I created the heavens and the earth. I gave everything. And we're gonna go to the very end of history, the last 3.5 years of human history before Jesus returns. And here's the setup for Revelation 14:6. The church has already been raptured. There's gonna be a time in the future where God is just gonna take the church off of the earth. Right now, the church are the witness people. And God's going to take the church off, and he's going to put the Jews in, even though they're not going to be totally witnessing at first. But the whole aspect of what happens to them is a witness to the world during the tribulation. Then God also sends 144,000 people down, or, you know, he has 144,000 witnesses, according to Revelation 7 and 14. They are now witnessing to the world. Whatever they're saying creates a myriad of people that come to saving faith in God. But then halfway through the 7-year tribulation, the Bible puts them back up in heaven in Revelation chapter 14. They're up in heaven. God also sends two witnesses down to Jerusalem. They're witnessing in Jerusalem for 3.5 years. But the Antichrist gets possessed by Satan and kills those two witnesses. And now they're gone. And the whole world is happy that they're gone because those witnesses are preaching God. And the people of the world don't want to hear about God. But they're not allowed to be killed until 3.5 years into their ministry. So now you look at, well, there's nobody. The church is gone. The 144,000 are gone. The two witnesses are gone. Who's there to witness to the people that are left during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation? And the answer is right here. And let's look at what they're saying. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. There will literally be an angel of God flying in the heavens, broadcasting to every single language, tribe, tongue, everybody on the face of the earth, saying these things. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. Exactly what Moses is telling all the Jews on the east side of the Jordan River. Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. He's really, the first angel is saying, worship God. The Antichrist has just become possessed, went into the rebuilt Jewish temple that's still yet future to us. He's going to go into the temple, declare himself to be God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's going to declare himself to be God, and then he's going to go on a rampage to wipe out anybody on earth that fears God, that fears Jesus, that is a believer in Jesus. He's going to be persecuting all of them. And saying, you either worship me, bow down to my image, take my name in your hand, or I'll kill you. I'll keep you from being able to buy or sell. And that's going to be his mission. And at that, while he's doing that, this angel is saying, no, 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 no. You don't bow to man. You bow to God. Why? Because he created everything. He's the creator. And verse 8. Of Revelation 14. And another angel follows, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And if you listen to our Revelation study, the Babylon system, it's what was Babylon originally? The original Babylon was Nimrod, who said, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's get rid of God. Let's make a name for ourselves. Make a tower that goes up to heaven. The world system has been doing that ever since. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's get rid of God. Psalm 2 says that men in the last days, the kings of the last days, will say, let's get rid of God and his anointed, and let's cast off their shackles, their laws. Is the world today trying to cast off all the laws of God and try and instill the laws of Satan? I mean, the things that are being taught and promoted and preached in this world today, let's follow Satan instead of God. And it's just mind-boggling, even though I've been anticipating. And what the second angel says is, hey, or first angel, you better worship God because he created all things. And guess what? The Babylonian system of man making a name for themselves, it's going down. Now, why spend a few days, hours, months of your life to serve Satan, the flesh, the things of the world that never satisfy? Why do that when God tells you it's going down? And it is. At the last, you know, the bowls of judgment that are coming in the last 3.5 years completely destroy the world system. It's going down. So why serve something that's going to be temporary when we can serve God who is eternal? Verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, the Antichrist, and his image, because he's going to set up images that speak somehow, and people are going to be required to be seen publicly bowing to his image. And then now your credit score just went up, because now your social credit score went up, because now you bowed to this beast image. And then you take his name and you take his name mark in his forehead or in his hand. He himself shall also drink of the wrath of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So now you have three angels. Worship God because he created all things. Because this world system, don't listen to the Antichrist thinking that his kingdom is going to be around forever. God's going to destroy his kingdom and his way. And by the way, if you bow down and you worship his image and you take his name in your hand or your forehead, you're lost in hell forever. So now you would think that, well, that nobody in the world is going to take a mark of the beast with angels doing that, right? the world's going to be full of people. There's going to be a lot of people saying, no, I'm not going to take the mark. But they'll have friends, just like what happened with the jab. They'll have friends, but you'll lose your job. You won't be able to buy or sell. You know, people were even saying that the jab thing was the mark of the beast. It's not, because it's not the Antichrist. It's not taking his name. And there's already going to be a system. The system is being set up before our eyes, where they completely database you. They know everything about you. You have a social credit score. The Chinese are already doing it. It's coming here that if you're a good comrade and you do what the world tells you to do, then you can get an education. You can buy a car. You can get a loan. You can do all this other stuff. They're soon going to collapse the economy of the world, the global economy of the world, and come up with a new, you know, universal basic income. They're promising, the globalists are promising to do this. And you're going to get your universal basic income if you do what they tell you to do. And we don't know what they're going to, at first, be stipulating what you do to get your universal basic income. But it'll probably be you let them go through your house. You make sure that you're disarmed. You haven't stored and hoarded anything. That you're voting right. That you're not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They could do that. But see, that system is being set up. Can everybody see that system is being set up before our eyes? I'm hoping nobody's going, you're crazy. Because I'm thinking, because if you think I'm crazy to say this, I'm thinking, are you paying attention? I mean, it's just, it used to be we were conspiracy nuts to say this stuff, which we've been saying for a long time, based on the Word of God. But now it's like, conspiracy nutcase has become the truth. We see it coming. It's in China now. And it's coming to the world. And they promised to bring it to the world. And so they're going to, but see, someday this Antichrist is going to add to the requirements. You now, despite whatever else you've been doing to keep your universal basic income to be able to buy or sell, now you have to worship my image because I'm God. And you have to take my name in your hand or your forehead so that when you're going around, they can see. You know, it's not going to be a vaccine certificate that can be forged. You're going to have the Antichrist name tattooed into your hand or your forehead. And then if you do, so you go into a store. Oh, well, you don't have your certificate. Oh, yeah, let me see your hand. Nope, I don't see it there. I don't see it on your forehead. Get out of here. You can't shop. You can't this and you can't that. And people will, even though these angels are saying, don't do it, people are going to go, well, I can't live without it. What do you mean you can't live? See, we are so cursed as human beings to worry about what's happening in this temporary life that I don't even know if I live today. I don't even know if I'm not going to drop dead of a heart attack later on today. But I want to think that things here are so important. What God is begging us, things here are not so important. Things here, the Word of God, that's what's important. Having a relationship with Him, worshiping our Creator, doing what He says because He created us. Not being a punk kid that tells Dad, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. Because we want to have a heart that says we do want to do what you want to do because you're our Creator and you do what's good for us. Let the world go be crazy. But we can't. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name, hell is forever. People will sell their soul for a temporary bowl of porridge like Esau, who despised his birthright just to live for today. And it's going to be forever to do that. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They're called tribulation saints. There's going to be some people going, you know, you go get that mark. That's fine for you. Not really, but, you know, you're not listening. I'm going to listen to the angels. I'm going to listen to the people that before the tribulation started told me that I should read the Bible, and I did read the Bible. I'm going to worship the God who created the heavens and the earth. Because then it goes on to say, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You know what God is saying? Blessed are the people who are willing to die instead of worshiping a false God. And God says in the prophetic word of Daniel chapter 7, 12, and Revelation, and even Jesus saying that the Antichrist and the world system is going to be given power over the saints. The tribulation saints are going to be killed. And what God is saying is, they're so blessed because they said no to the world, even though they missed the rapture. You know, they were unbelievers before that. Somehow they become believers, listening to angels, reading your Bible that you left behind, whatever else it is. They're so blessed because they have eternal life. The ones that compromise their life just to get a bowl of food, they're in hell forever. And let's go back to Deuteronomy 10:14. Some people came into the office. I mentioned this on our Wednesday night service. Came in on Wednesday and were basically saying that he was a home church guy. And he was saying, I'm here to find out what your eschatology is. Bottom line is, because we're thinking we're going to go through the tribulation and we have to store up food and be ready to defend each other and everything else. And I was hoping that you would be there with me, but I guess you're not. Because the church is going to be taken. And, you know, and the post-tribbers, they think I'm an idiot for misleading you with that hope, because you're going to be there and you're going to be starved and you're not prepared and you're not ready and you're going to deny the faith because I misled you. But you know what? People have been dying for a long time for professing Jesus, haven't they? And the Bible's very, very clear. The church isn't here for this time. And I'm not saying that because I've only spent a minute on it. I mean, 47 years on it. And we're going to be gone. And I told him, I said, even if I'm wrong, I mean, for you guys to basically accuse people like them, he wasn't saying it, accuse me of being a false teacher that's going to lead you all to deny the faith, because you're going to say, my pastor said that I wasn't going to have to resist the Antichrist telling me to take the mark of the beast, and that depresses me so much, I'll take the mark of the beast, and so I'll just take it because my pastor misled me. And I said, how ridiculous of an argument is that? I go, even if I'm wrong, even as much as I think I'm right, if I find out I'm wrong and I'm going into what's happening, I'm going to do the same thing I'm doing now. Tell people they need to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. I'm not going to flake out on God because I thought I was going to be gone.
Amen.
But the emphasis is, I'm now planning on serving Jesus, which I've been planning on doing ever since I got saved. They're planning on hunkering down. And I said, you better have some guns and some claymore mines, because they're coming after anything that you've stored. And so you have two mentalities here. And my mentality is, the world's passing away and the lust thereof. I'm not trying to save my life. I'm trying to give my life to service of Jesus. If he wants to keep me alive, he can keep me alive. By the way, famine is coming. You know, 12 food processing plants have burned up or exploded in the last, you know, within the last month. Massive food processing places have blown up, burned to the ground, fire. That, you know, when we go into Safeway and Albertsons and whatever, all those boxes, all those things, all those bottles full of liquids and all that stuff happens in massive processing centers that then get distributed to the country. And they just somehow happen to have burned. So anyway, should we worship Jesus as our Creator? Absolutely. And should we keep true to Him? Yes. Should we tell people it's time to get right with God? Why would you want to serve the world that's going to go down? Deuteronomy 10:14, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. Everybody should acknowledge that to God and confess that they haven't let Him, haven't let themselves belong to Him, because they've rebelled. And God, forgive me for rebelling. I want to come to saving faith in your Son, Jesus. Forgive me for my foolishness. Verse 15, the Lord delighted only in your fathers. So now Moses is saying that God really only delighted in your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of the Jews. He's only delighting in the Jews. Now that seems weird, but let's keep going here. To love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples as it is this day. He delighted in the fact, I want to create a witness people on earth. Because everybody got wiped out in the flood because man left to themselves. The thought and the intent of their heart becomes wicked continually, to the point where there was only 8 people left on the planet that God could save in the ark, that were on the ark. And so then here, the earth is repopulating again. What does everybody do? Nimrod. Nimrod wants to join all the people into rebellion against God at the Tower of Babel. Then what happens? Well, then they scatter with their idolatry, the rebellion, the rejection of God. But Josephus records, this isn't in the Bible, but Abraham was a man living in Ur of the Chaldeans, full of idolatry. His family was idolatrous. And he said, not me. I'm not going to be idolatrous. I'm going to worship the true God. And God looked down at him and goes, Abraham, I'm going to use you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to make you the patriarch of my witness people. And so because of what I'm doing with you and all the history that's going to be happening over hundreds and thousands of years, I'm going to discipline your people. I'm going to, you know, when they sin, and they are going to sin, they're going to go after idols. I'm going to discipline them, kick them out of the nation and stuff. But still, I'm going to make promises to you, and the whole world is going to see you as a people that has a God that's made promises to them. And so he delighted in them to do that. All the other nations were idolatrous. Right now, and just to be clear, the church right now is that witness to the world. We're not doing a very good job of it right now, but the church was supposed to be the witness. And Israel was taken out of being the witness temporarily because they weren't doing a good job. And then God says in the book of Romans, he goes, now you church, you don't be thinking that God cast the Jews off because you're so special, because I'm going to graft them back in and I can kick you out. I can take you away from being the witness people, which is why the rapture of the church happens. The rapture of the remnant church goes to be with Jesus, and then God keeps his promises of the remaining 7 years of the Jews being the witness people according to the prophecies. So we haven't replaced the Jews, but they are off on the side waiting for, you know, the next time where they're front and center, which is coming soon. Verse 16, therefore, because he had chose them to be different, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart. What did God do? What did God tell Abraham to do when he first chose him to be different? He says, okay, Abraham, I want you and everybody in your family forever to be circumcised in the flesh. All the males are circumcised. Okay, that makes them different. On the outside, they're different. And now here it is, hundreds of years later, Moses is there. He says, now just circumcise your heart. Don't have it just be something that's in the male flesh. Circumcise your heart. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Let's turn to Romans 2:25. So what God is saying is, I want you to be circumcised because that means you're a Jew. You're supposed to be my witness people. But if you go off and worship idols and you rebel against the law of God and you do all these other things in violation of the law, then you're not, your circumcision of the flesh isn't doing anything. What I want is your heart. So here's the thing. God wants everybody's heart in this room. And that's whether we're Christians or non-Christians. If we're Christians, he wants more of our heart. He wants us to just let him do the work to change the way we think. And if you're not a Christian here today, what he wants is you to turn your heart off of the things of the world and turn it on to him, your creator. This is what Romans chapter 2:25 says. This is Paul talking to the Romans, because what Paul dealt with in all of his letters is Jews were thinking, we're Jews. Look, we're circumcised. We have the law. We're the chosen people. We're the special people that God loves. And yet they're rejecting Jesus as the Messiah who was prophesied to them. Yet they were doing the same kind of sins as others, although they were just saying, oh no, but we're Jews. We're special because we're circumcised. And Paul is saying, no. The church, the new dispensation, God is bringing Jew and Gentile that say, God, I am uncircumcised of heart. Circumcise me. Forgive me. changed my heart from the inside. It's not, I don't want an outward thing that doesn't, that means nothing, because really all that matters to you is a heart. And we're coming to God with a heart to want to serve Him. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. If the inward is the same as the outward, then okay. You know, then okay, people can say you're different. And you're different in your flesh. And you know what? You're different because you love God. You love Him and you love His laws. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Because what you're showing is not the truth of who you are. You know, the other day, Mike and I met up at Walmart, and we were going out together, and I didn't even notice, but the receipt checker had a cross. He was wearing a cross. And Mike says, "Oh yeah, and he's coming back soon, isn't he?" And she looked at him like, "What? What are you talking about?" because she didn't even know she was wearing a cross. And that would be the good symbology here. How many movie actors wear crosses and they serve the devil with everything in their being? And so the issue is, wearing a cross is good. If it reflects, if Mike would have said, "Hey, and he's coming back soon. Amen, brother. Jesus is coming back and he's my Lord and Savior, and that's where I wear this." That's exactly what Paul is saying here. If the heart goes along with the outward, then good. But if it doesn't, there's a serious problem. Which, by the way, Bob Simpson gave me this, is because we talked about it at our Tuesday breakfast. Or actually it was Saturday morning breakfast. I said, I'd read an article once about how many pastors would go do something else if they could find a job. They don't even believe it. They don't believe what they're saying. And so he dug up a similar article. It's not the one I was thinking about that I read years ago, but 51% of pastors don't have a biblical worldview. That means they're being a pastor. But when it comes down to the biblical worldview of, you know, virgin birth, Jesus is the only way to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit and to walk with Him and obey Him, only 51% have a biblical worldview. 30% confess to having had a physical adulterous relationship with somebody in the congregation. You know, these statistics are not surprising to me, just from, you know, being around and seeing what's going on. And it goes on from there. A high percent. If I had a way to have another job that would take care of me, I would not be doing this. Now, I want to say I don't feel that way. I want you to know that serving Jesus in these days is just such a joy to me. And it has its ups and downs. It has a thrill of victory and the agony of defeat at times. But it is such a joy to serve Jesus and to serve you. I'm not doing it to wear a cross and to wear a collar and to do it. It's something that is also circumcised of heart that God has called me to. And see, you as a Christian, it should be the same way. And especially children that come. Yeah, I'm here because my parents dragged me here and I can't wait to get to be in high school and get out of here. And any kid that thinks that way, man, may God have mercy on their soul. Because God wants our heart. He deserves to have our heart. He deserves to be worshipped because He so loved us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. We need to turn our hearts more and more to Him. For He is not a Jew, verse 28 of Romans 2. For He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but He is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. It's a circumcision of the heart is what delights God. Jesus is delighted in calling us His people, and He knows whose heart He owns in this room and in the world, for that matter, and so we shouldn't be stiff-necked any longer. Going back to Deuteronomy 10:16. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. Hey, God, with the pearly gates. Hey, God, let me come into heaven, even though I didn't believe in you. and I rejected your son, used his name as a curse word, you know, don't I get to go to heaven? No, he's not going to take a bribe. He's just. I'm not going to let you in here. You'd mess it all up. Why would I allow somebody who hates me to come into heaven? He administers justice for the fatherless, the orphan, and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Going to go another parallel passage because of our progressive social justice emphasis on these kind of verses. Let's turn to 1 Kings 8:41. People use the Bible to say, hey, there shouldn't be any borders. See, the globalists want to get rid of the borders. God wants borders between countries. He says so in the Mars Hill sermon that Paul gave. He said so when he split the nations at the Tower of Babel. It caused them to confuse their languages because he wanted the nations to be separate. Because when man unites, it unites for evil. And the world's about to be united. But let's look at what the Bible says. Let's have a biblical worldview on this. And I'll just tell you, if you read the law, which everybody should be reading the law of Moses, all it says, the stranger who is in the midst of Israel, somebody from another area, another tribe, a nation, even outside the Canaanites, anybody that comes to Israel, they're required to become a Jew. They're required to worship God. If they want to work on the Sabbath, they're done. Keep going down the road. If they want to worship idols, get out of town. Get out of Dodge. You're not allowed to come into the nation of Israel and then pollute it with your idolatry. It was forbidden in the law. And because the Jews worship the true God, not to be infiltrated by godless people. So 500 years after we're reading this in Deuteronomy, King Solomon is king. He's dedicating the first temple to be built. And he has a long prayer, and this is part of that prayer in 1 Kings 8:41. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far country, for your name's sake, I want to leave my idolatrous pagan culture, Moabites. You know, Ruth the Moabitess went to go worship the true God of Israel. So that foreigner, for your sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays towards this temple. So when somebody goes from being a pagan idolatrous worshiper and they come into Israel, become a Jew and come to the temple as a foreigner and say, God, pray, you know, and it's praying at the temple, at the place of worship. Then Solomon is saying, then here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls for you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. So what's a biblical view of a foreigner? Hey, you know, you're allowed to go through town. You know, you can go. If you want to stay an idolater, we're not going to try and just kill you if you're on your way, but just be gone if you're going to do your own thing. But if you want to stay, you're going to stay and worship our God the way he says. You're going to honor him. You're going to keep his commandments. You're not going to pollute us, and then you can come and be part of us. And it used to be America would watch its borders. It would watch its borders. Do you hate America? Yeah, I hate America. I want to bring Islam to the country. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You know, stay over in your Islamic country. Stay over in your godless place. Stay someplace else. Because we would discern whether or not they're going to contribute to the American mindset. We used to be a mindset of Judeo-Christian God is who we want to serve in this country, even if we don't believe in the Jesus. We want the laws of God to be prevailing in our culture. That's being destroyed. We're watching it being destroyed. And the result will be the death of the United States of America. It will no longer exist. And the Bible prophesies it's going to be the case. Because the globalists are trying to tear down all the nation states and create a global 10-nation empire. And their plan, by their plan I got off of the European Commission website before they took it down, the map, their plan of the map of the world, America, United States is gone. Canada, United States, Mexico become the North American Union, to be the along with the European Union, African Union, South African Union. They can't have, and see, the globalists inspired by Satan, you can't have a God-fearing, freedom-loving people to unify with the rest of the world. You have to infiltrate it. You have to water it down. You have to destroy it. And that's what they're doing. Why are the borders open? Why can't the Republicans or the Democrats do anything? Because the globalists are ruling. And it's not our representatives that are ruling. And that is what is happening. So, and they use these verses to sit there. We're supposed to just open and do everything. Now, we love people from other countries and stuff, but if we cared about America to continue to be able to be a blessing to places, we would keep the identity that we had. But since that's lost, we're going to lose that and the ability to help anybody. Because we ourselves will be impoverished spiritually and physically. Going back to Deuteronomy 10:19. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And here's the mindset that we should have. No matter who we run into, we should say, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to come to saving faith in Jesus. We shouldn't be excluding anybody, any nationality, any skin color, even any sexual preference or whatever. I have witnessed to homosexuals. I've seen some come to saving faith in Jesus. We had a transvestite that visited the church, and we just told him, he was trying to be her, and I told him, I said, you know, here's the deal. We're going to call you Steve. We're not going to call you Stevie. And if you're good with that, then you're welcome to be here, because we're not going to live a lie. I mean, the reality is you're Steve, and we're not going to just lie for you. And you know what? He ended up coming back. We had a big, long conversation in the office. He was fellowshipping at a Christian ministry for youth, you know, college and career group. He went and told them, I'm going to repent. I'm going to change. I'm going to go back to being Steve. Last I heard, that was still the case. And so and it's not like, oh man, you know, you're supposed to be just judged by God and stuff. No, and nobody's judged by God until they die in rebellion. Everybody that's alive, we should be witnessing to and telling them the love of God to. And you know what it was? It was saying, do you realize you're going down this path, and the Bible says this path leads to your eternal destruction if you stay on it. Now, most people wouldn't say that, but it's the truth, isn't it? I mean, that's a biblical worldview. That's what God says, and that was something he didn't want to do. Therefore, love that stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast. We're going to have to hold fast, because it is not popular to hold on to Jesus. You know what's really popular in the school is to be gender confused. The school systems today, like high schools, junior highs, you're cool and you're in the main group of acceptance if you're gender confused. And guaranteed, and I know this is true too, if you stand up for the truth in that gender confused world, you're on the outs. You are vilified. And so, that's what we have to hold fast to. We have to hold fast to the truth, even if we're hated, maligned, killed for this truth. And take oaths in his name. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and so help me God. That got into our culture because of the Judeo-Christian values. It doesn't come from the Quran. You just put your hand on the Quran and say, yeah, I promise to tell the truth, and the Quran tells me I can say that to you and fully intend to lie if it's for the good of the Quran. For Allah. But not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, you say you're going to tell the truth, you tell the truth. And so we don't worship the same God, as many people say, including pastors. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of the heaven in multitude. From 70, people guess around 2 million people at the Exodus. And so they've gone from 70 to 2 million in a little over 200 years. And the Egyptians said these people multiplied like crazy, you know, and because God blessed them and caused them to multiply. Chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, because of what God has done to multiply you and to give you life. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. Know today that I do not speak with your children, the ones who are under 40 years old, who are not part of the Exodus. So he's saying, I'm going to tell, this is what Moses is going to say. I'm going to tell you guys something that saw it. You're over 40 years old. You watched what happened. You saw the plagues of Egypt. You saw the Red Sea part. You saw the fire at Mount Sinai. You heard the voice of God. You saw all this stuff. I'm talking to you because you had your eyewitnesses and you're inexcusable. And just like Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required, right? He's saying your children have to just listen to you say what happened. I'm telling you the ones that did see what happened. I'm not talking to your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God, his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm, his signs and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. What did he do? What did God do to Egypt on behalf of the Jews? Destroyed it. Destroyed Egypt. A superpower that has 2 million slaves that are, you know, forced by whips and other kinds of abuse to do whatever their masters tell them to do. And God says, okay, I'm done with you messing with my kids. I'm going to destroy you. Destroyed them. And what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, wiped out their entire military. Destroyed them. Why? Because of the rebellion and because of the way they treated the Jews. Their idolatry in treating the Jews. Read Exodus to get the details of all this. What he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place. What did he do? Provided food, provided water. Miraculously kept on providing it for 40 years. And what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. See Numbers 16. The gainsaying of Korah. Korah was saying, you know, you guys, Aaron and Moses, the high priests have to come as descendants of Aaron. Well, I'm a Kohathite, I'm a Levite, and who says that you get to be the high priest? Who was it that said that Aaron got to be the high priest? God. So was he rebelling against Aaron? No. Rebelling against God. And God says, you know what? You just tell those people that are rebelling, just stand over here with your censers. And then Moses, you stand over here, and I'll let them know that they're messing with me. And the earth just opened up. There's an earthquake, and it just opened up and just closed up on them, and they're gone. And he's saying to the Jews, you guys saw this. Read this story. You'll get the details in number 16. You guys saw all this, but your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord, which he did. You were eyewitnesses. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, we didn't see it happen. So we are, in a sense, we're being told by those that did see it, because we're reading what Moses wrote in the Exodus. But we've seen a lot of things. We've seen what God has done in your own life, right? You know, for the day that you gave your life to Jesus. Like I was saying when they get in, you know, with Jack here, I rejected getting a Gideon Bible because Bibles are just for lamos, you know, people that need a crutch with God, a crutch and stuff like that. But then everybody that knew me knew what happened to you. And a lot of them weren't too happy. Some of them have completely cut me off from ever talking to them again because you were with us. But no, I was a fool to be with you. I was a fool to be in rejection of this God. And now I want to serve him. And so people should see that something's happened to you. And so they see the change, and yet they reject. They're going to be so accountable to God for that. Just like the people that saw what God did in all these things and then rejected him when they get into the land and they start doing crazy stuff as you read through the rest of the scriptures. He wants us to obey him so that we can prolong our days. Once again, America's days are numbered. According to the authority of the Word of God, America's days are numbered. Oh, no, we're going to, you know, that 2022 elections, we're going to take it back over and we're going to get it going. No. It ain't going to happen. You might get a couple of rhinos again and everything else, but the overall trend of our country is complete gender confusion, rebellion against God, rejection of God in every way. You go out on the street, I have, talk to people, they want nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with the God of the Bible. They might be conservative, but they don't care about Jesus. They don't care about God. Our days are numbered. A land flowing with milk and honey. God's sending us to, you know, he was saying, I'm going to send you to Israel. The land of Israel was the land of the Canaanites. And it's flowing with milk and honey. That's their promised land. What's ours? Everlasting life in heaven with the God who created us. And it is going to be one wonderful, eternal ride. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. You know, Egypt has the Nile River and all around it, arid land that it doesn't rain. They get the water. And so how did you have to do your crops? You had to bucket your crops with water to irrigate them. It's not like that. Deuteronomy 11:11. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land and its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled, blessed with plentiful food, easy to grow because of rain, as compared to bringing in irrigation with buckets by foot, which they experienced when they were obedient. And when they were disobedient, drought came. To the point of unbelievable hunger where people were saying, you know, like Elijah goes up to the Sidonian widow and says, hey, give me something to eat. She goes, well, actually, my son and I were just sitting down eating the last morsel of food that we have in existence, and then we're going to lay down and die. But, okay, we'll give it to you. They're going to help a Jewish prophet that's in the land. And Elijah says, well, you, because of your obedience, you know, your bucket's never going to run out. Your oil's never going to run out for having food for many days. And once again, is our country in drought, by the way? Some people say, Kevin, it's not a judgment of God. It's a judgment of the chemtrails and the weather modification of the people that are doing it. But you know what? Even if that's true, which, by the way, if you looked out the window today, you'd wonder, how come there's just all these checkerboards of white that are going and then turns into this weird haze that is not a contrail? God can allow people that are inspired by Satan to destroy the regular weather systems and everything to bring drought here, too. It's a judgment. But, you know, we're being judged. And again, they're promising us that the shelves are going to be empty soon. Let's see what happens with that. We can talk about it afterwards. So drought is a judgment of God. Therefore, verse 18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Modern day vernacular, keep your Bibles with you. Read them. You know, high percentage of pastors never read the Bible except what they need to do to give their sermon. At which a lot of the sermons of today are maybe five verses or whatever, and the rest of the time is joking and making fun. And so it would take, you'd never know the Bible if all you did is study to just do that. Everybody should be devotionally reading your Bibles. You should devotionally make it a part of your life. That's the heart of God, is that you would be saying, I can open up God's love letter to me, and I can let the Holy Spirit speak to me today if I open this up. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. A repeat of chapter 6, actually, and so important to teach your children. And praise God, the God-fearing aspects of society that is still here in America, praise God, are fed up to realize that Disney is wanting to program our children with the gender confusion filth of the demons that are serving, you know, the demons that are inside of people. And, you know, I've been warning for 2 decades. Why go to Disneyland? Look at what they're doing. But now I rejoice to hear that they're losing millions, hundreds of millions of dollars because everybody's canceling their Disney Channel. And I would encourage you, I mean, see, God says, teach your children the truth, the law of God. The world says, oh, you parents, let us have your children. Give us your children, and we're going to not tell you what we're teaching them, and we're going to teach them this. And you stick them in front of Disney Channel, guaranteed you're teaching them sorcery, witchcraft, gender confusion, rebellion against God. So it's just... That's in complete violation of what we just read, which is supposed to be on our hearts to do what he tells us to do. For if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. All of what's Israel today, all up into the Euphrates River, up north, Lebanon, Syria, into that area. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he said to you. Deuteronomy 27:28 expounds on that. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on the Mount Ebal. Now, we don't have time today. I'm going to show you next week as a lead into the study. We'll cover this again. But what, and you have it in your notes, you can go look at the article yourself. But they know where, what Joshua did in obedience to what Moses said is he made an altar. Now, Joshua chapter 8, write that in your notes. Now, Joshua built an altar to the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal. They found the altar. I mean, archaeologically, they found the altar. And we'll show the picture of it. And they excavated it years ago. And they, you know, they sift through and they go, okay, we got everything that we could out of here. And somebody said, go sift it again using a wet method to just see more detail of what's there. They sift and they go, whoa, here's a piece of lead. This was lead that's been inscribed on. They had to get electron microscope kind of technology to find out what was written on this lead thing dating to the days of Joshua, meaning dating to the days of Deuteronomy. And it is now being put out to Israel. This is the oldest Hebrew ever found, you know, ever found by archaeologists. So one mountain was supposed to say, if you follow God, you'll be blessed this way. Mount Ebal, there was people that were supposed to be there. But if you don't do it, you're cursed this way. We're going to get to it later on in Deuteronomy. You're going to be cursed this way, this way, this way. This is what the lead said, you know, the lead said, cursed, 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 cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die. Cursed. Cursed, you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Do you think they got the message? You know, and that's what we're really telling people. You're going to be, if you reject Jesus, you're cursed by the God who created the heavens and the earth, that loved us and sent us Jesus. So that's our message. Just tell people, you don't want to be cursed either. One mountain, you don't be cursed. You'll be cursed if you reject this God of love. And we can be, you know, we can get various different disciplines by disobeying. God loves us. He's going to, as Christians, he's going to discipline us. But I don't want to be disciplined. Like I mentioned last week when my parents disciplined me, my dad did. I didn't want it anymore. So same thing with God. We should want to just serve him so that we don't have to be disciplined. Amen. So next week we'll be getting into chapter 12, finishing 11, getting into chapter 12, which is actually going to be the law. And so all this is to prepare our hearts for whatever God says in his law that applies to us still, we want to do. We want to let it be part of our life, part of our children's life, part of our family, part of our home. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy upon us. Lord, that you've loved your creation for all these millennia, despite the human propensity to rebel and to not listen to you, our dad, and to our own hurt every time that we do rebel. And God, we thank you for your forgiveness. If anybody in this room is struggling with something, that you would just help them to truly let it go. Let go of this corrupt world. Let go of the corrupt deceptions and to live for you. We thank you, God, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God. That's actually a verse out of the book of Job, where Job had miserable suffering in this life, and he goes, you know, I don't care about that. I mean, he did care, like we would care. But I know one thing I know, my Redeemer lives, I'm going to be with him. And that's going to be our attitude into the future, if you love and worship Jesus as your Savior. If not, what we cover today is its misery. And we grieve for you, if that's the case, anybody here. God bless you. And anybody who wants to talk, pray about any of this stuff, if you want to get right with Jesus, please do. Jack's going to be back there to talk to anybody about the Gideon ministry. Want to, you know, give and make it a habit to give to the Gideon ministry. Encourage you to do that until we can fellowship again.